Welcome to episode 56 of Bite-Sized Blessings. In this episode, I discuss Vine Deloria Jr., who recently passed away. He was an incredible and intelligent theologian, philosopher, Native American rights activist, and writer. Several of his books I think should be required reading. God is Red, Custer Died for Your Sins, and finally, The World We Used to Live In. I strongly urge everyone who listens to this podcast to buy The World We Used to Live In. In this episode, Marty talks about meeting Grandfather Samu, who is a medicine man in California. Marty also briefly discusses the miracles he witnessed Grandfather Samu do. For more of an idea of what this looks like, I urge you to buy The World We Used to Live In. It is potent, magical, and wise, and really opened my eyes to the fact that there is much more going on in our reality than we could ever hope to understand. And now, episode 56 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
Well, the night before, I got really, really worried. And I kept walking up and down my apartment and praying and saying, God, you got to help these kids. You really, something has to be done. And it was, I went into a deep meditation of saying, something has to be done, God. And I was literally up all night. So the next morning when I came to the house, I went into the garage. Catherine and her was in the kitchen making me a cup of coffee. I went into the garage. And again, picture hundreds and hundreds of boxes. And every box is full of envelopes and papers. And I don't know what told me, but something told me to reach in this one box, a little voice, and pull out an envelope. And I did. And inside that envelope was $5,000 cash. Many years ago, I actually met a man named Grandfather Samu. Now, this is part of the story. This will come into the story a little bit later on, but it's really important. And he was is a Chumash Indian. We call him medicine man. Native Americans would call him grandfather. And the man was unbelievable in his philosophy, his thinking. And I've seen miracles that he has done over time, over years. But one day in real estate, I was prospecting and I came across a man living in San Diego. My office is in Santa Barbara and Carpinteria, which is the distance from Carpinteria to San Diego is about 250, 300 miles. And he wanted to list his home in Carpinteria. And it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. And he said, at that time, he was maybe in his mid-80s. And just by talking to him, I knew that he was probably not really a nice guy. He was always like grumpy, mean-spirited. And he said, I want to sell the home. But inside the home, my son and daughter is living inside this home. And they pay me very little rent. And I really can't stand them. I really hate my children. And I said, oh, wow. He said, they're a little slow. They're challenged. They've been a drain on my life all my life. All my life. I've been taking care of them. And they're going to give you a hard time when you go to sell my house. They will probably prevent you from selling my house. And I said, well, why don't I just go over there, introduce myself to your kids. And he said, I have a daughter. Her name is Catherine. And my son is Earl. And they're very, not a little, he used the word slow. And that was a mean thing to say about his kids. So I went over, knocked on the door, and no one answered. And I came back over and over again. I kept knocking on the door. And then about 2 or 3, 4 days into this, trying to get inside the home, I noticed that the drapes was just you know, a little open a little bit, and somebody was peeking at me. And then I kept knocking, and then eventually the door was open. And I met Catherine and Earl, the two nicest people that you ever wanted to meet in your whole life. The sweet, just super kind and nice. And they were telling me how mean their dad was to them over the years. and they were living on disability insurance and paying him pretty much most of the money they were coming in from the state to him for rent. And I told him that, I said, look, your dad wants to sell this house. And they knew it was coming. And they said, okay, we won't stop you. We will do everything we can to make it work. And they did. They were just wonderful people. They were just so kind and so generous. Now, the house was three bedrooms. One bedroom Earl was living in and one bedroom Catherine was living in. The other bedroom was full of boxes, right from the floor to the ceiling of all boxes. And in the garage, the two-car garage, there must have been like 2,000 boxes full of papers and envelopes. And the father used to have his own business as a grocery store. So he kept all the receipts. He kept everything in these boxes. And it was packed in the garage and into the bedroom. So eventually an offer did come in. And the offer was accepted with a 30-day escrow. So I called the father up, my client from San Diego, and I said, you have to come down and there are some paperwork that you have to sign. And he said, oh, okay, he will come down. And he said, I want these kids out of my sight. I want them out of the house. So I said, well, they really have no place to go. And I'm not going to put them on the street. We're going to have to make some type of arrangements. And he got very angry with me. I mean, he said, oh, I'm going to sue you. You work for me, you know, and it got really mean. It got really nasty at me. I said, well, why don't you come down and we can talk about it. And in the meantime, I said, you got a lot of boxes here. That's yours. And he said, well, why don't I just come down? He came down with two of his friends. And I swear to God, I mean, the two friends, there were two women, and they should have belonged in German Nazis back then, because they were like the Gestapo. They came in, the three of them came in, opened the door, and they were, I mean, it was like so mean to everybody, yelling at them, yelling at me. And I said, well, we're not going to put them out on the street. You're going to have to help them financially. And it was like a big power struggle, but he finally agreed to give them roughly about $1,500 to move out, to find another place to live. And he said, that would be your responsibility, pointing at me, to find them another place to live. I said, okay. I can do it. I will help them whatever I can. And then I said, what about all these boxes? All these boxes full of papers. And he said, well, it's yours. I don't want them. It's yours. You do what you want. You, if you want to throw them in the trash, throw them in the trash. But those boxes are you. And he pointed to me. He said, those is all your responsibility. I give these boxes to you. I said, okay. So the day before the escrow to close, and then Catherine and Earl were to move out, I went into the garage. Well, the night before, I got really, really worried. And I kept walking up and down my apartment and praying and saying, God, you got to help these kids. You really, something has to be done. And I went into a deep meditation of saying, something has to be done. God. And I was literally up all night. So the next morning when I came to the house, I went into the garage. Catherine and Earl was in the kitchen making me a cup of coffee. I went into the garage. And again, picture hundreds and hundreds of boxes. And every box is full of envelopes and papers. And I don't know what told me, but something told me to reach in this one box, a little voice, and pull out an envelope. And I did. And inside that envelope was $5,000 cash. So I went into the house and I said, Catherine, Earl, come over here. And I said, close your eyes and stick out your hands. And they did. And I put $5,000 cash in their hands. And I said, the box is mine. Your dad gave me the boxes. It's all mine. So I'm giving this to you so you can move. And they were like really obviously happy. They even made me a cake. I grew up in Boston, so they made me a Boston cream cake. So I said, oh, great. And we all ate the cake the next day. And I said, okay, you have roughly $6,500 worth of cash. I said, what are you going to do? And do you, and they said, well, we were thinking of moving to up in the mountains by Bishop up there. Well, I said, well, Bishop in Carpinteria, that's like about 300 miles away. Do you have a place to go to? I mean, that's great. But have you ever been to Bishop? Have you ever been up there? No, they've never been. But we saw something in a little newspaper article in a Carpinteria paper about this one little house up in the mountains. And we want you to call the owner on our behalf. I said, okay. I said, have you talked to the owner? So he said, yes, we have talked to the owner. But there's about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 other people that want the same place. And we don't know what to say to them anymore. We'd like to have you to just call them up. So I said, okay. So I picked up the phone and I called him. And it was really, I noticed that by his name, he was a Native American. So I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from San Ynez Valley. I said, oh, that's just over the mountains from Santa Barbara. That's like 45 miles away. I said, by any chance, do you know a man named Grandfather Samu? And it was dead silence on the phone. He said, Grandfather Samu is my leader, my spiritual leader. I said, well, he adopted me when my father passed away many years ago. And I drive him all over the state of California to these Earth Day celebrations and any other celebration. I said, could you do me a favor? He goes, absolutely. I said, I have Earl and Catherine here, and they really want to rent out your house. He said, okay, they have it. And he said, they don't have to give me last month's rent or a security deposit. I said, that would be really, really great. But I noticed that the house is about 20 miles away from any towns. And Catherine, they don't have a car. So he can drive. So he has a driver's license. He said, don't worry. I will have someone drive up to their house every week to take them to town. He said, I would just look after them. And he did. They lived there for maybe 10 years before they moved someplace else. I really believe that you can really manifest anything if you really set your mind to it.
And that's it. That's a wrap for episode 56 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the magic and spirit that surrounds us, if only we open our eyes to it. I'd like to thank my thoughtful and compassionate guest today, Marty, for sharing all of his stories with me, as well as the creators of the music used, Music L Files, Chilled Music, Sasha End, and Frank Schroeder. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to books, artists, music, and playlists I think will lift and inspire you. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Marty. When you walk out your front door every day, you never know where the day's going to take you, or you might be asked to show up and help someone else. So here's my request. Keep your eyes open and be ready to help. And maybe, just maybe, you too will be given a chance to be someone's angel for a day.